Big Mac, Chicken McNuggets, no, Big Mac and Quarter Pounder with cheese,
or Filet-O-Fish.
You'd be doing the same thing if you were at McDonald's, because you can choose not just one, but two of your favorites for just $6. Tasty Big Mac, crispy 10-piece Chicken McNuggets, juicy Quarter Pounder with cheese, or savory Filet-O-Fish. Enjoy two of your all-time favorites for just $6, if you can decide on the two. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hosting for the show is provided by mcprohosting.com. Experience the ultimate Minecraft server solution on our award-winning servers. Featuring quality service at bargain prices, get yours today at mcprohosting.com. Want something to listen to while playing Minecraft? Why not try an audiobook from Audible? Listeners of our show will get one free book of your choice when you sign up for a 30-day free trial. Go to audibletrial.com/theshaft today and enjoy a free audiobook from over 100,000 selections.
Can't sleep, gotta build. There's a ground that needs to be drilled, and all I wanna do is dig.
From the Dead Workers Party, a podcast about all things Minecraft. Enjoy your stay in the shaft.
The Shaft, episode 116, recorded on January 13th, 2013.
I'm Brent Copeland.
I am Wes Wilson.
And I'm Eric Fullerton.
And today, we have some lovely gentlemen with us.
Yes, they're beautiful. If you're watching the stream, you can see exactly how beautiful they are.
Yeah. The guys from Two Player Productions.
Hello.
Hey.
Howdy, howdy.
Happy to be here.
So you're hot off your We're Documentary Makers World Tour. How many red carpets have you been walking since the Minecraft documentary came out?
On one really long, thin one.
And before we get into more questions, let's go ahead and if you guys would introduce yourselves to the audience, who you are, and kind of what you do.
Well, I'm Paul Levering, and I'm the producer of Two Player Productions.
Paul Owens, I'm the director.
And I'm Asif Siddiqui, I'm the cinematographer.
Awesome.
Awesome.
And explain to me exactly, like, cinematography in a documentary. How exactly does that work?
I just shoot everything.
Just make sure you get multiple angles on everything.
Point the camera at whatever's happening.
And then
exactly.
Turn it on.
Don't miss the important stuff. And then turn the light on.
Yeah.
That's as much as I learned in film school.
So. Do you do the finger thing a lot?
Oh, yeah, the frame.
He made us look so much prettier than we actually are.
Yeah.
I had a horrible framing accident once, so I've lost the use of those muscles.
I don't think anybody does the framing thing. Not since, like, 1950 or something.
Really?
You know?
I think there's an app for that now.
Yeah.
Show up your iPhone. And,
that's how they used to shoot movies back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through your fingers.
Ching, ching. Isn't that what they were saying? Like, when you get the wearable, like, Google goggles, that's how you're going to take pictures, is by putting your...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy with the glass. Yeah.
Yeah. So, So you guys are documentary filmmakers, and you make really poor decisions, like putting us into your movies.
That's a weird question.
It is because, you know, you guys are camped out. I hear stories from my cousin who works at Double Fine, and he walks by. He goes, "I walked by there where they were sitting, and you were on the screen." So, yeah. I don't really have anywhere to go. I just wanted to talk about that.
That was weird.
You just want to plug the cousin who works at Double Fine.
Exactly. Have you guys had fun? Like, are you living there? Do you have apartments inside their offices now?
Pretty much. There's just like a modesty screen.
Yeah.
And that's about it. And then we sleep under the table.
Yeah.
And we pretend that no one knows, but they all know.
Well, I think Wes may be talking past a little bit of the Minecraft folks may not realize what y'all are doing now. What are y'all doing now, like film-wise?
Well, currently we're working with Double Fine Productions, doing a nice big Kickstarter project with them on a game they're developing.
And you guys are doing the films for the, you did the Amnesia Fortnite videos for them too as well?
Mm-hmm.
And is that over?
It is, yep.
And were you happy with how all those videos came out? I'm asking you very short questions because you're giving very short answers.
Oh, no, sorry about that. Yeah, it was great. I mean, I feel like that's the closest we've come to really showing people what game development looks like, because it was so focused and we were able to run really long episodes you know, over a couple of days. So we ended up with quite a few hours of content, you know, that people didn't mind sitting through. So I guess that's good.
If anyone doesn't understand what Amnesia Fortnite is, Double Fine is a game production company in San Francisco. And every year, internally, they do a brainstorming session where the whole company breaks down into small teams, and each team develops a brand new game from scratch in 2 weeks. So for the first time ever this year, they made that process public, and we were there to shoot the whole thing. So every day, we would put up a video that recapped the day's events.
Cool. Do you feel like you were biased in your presentation? Were you rooting for somebody, and did you like show more of their stuff than...
We tried to give everybody even coverage, but, you know, we can't get everything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And what is, like, between, you know, working with Mojang and working with Double Fine, did you find similar operations there, or did y'all get to Double Fine and find something completely different?
The spirit is the same, but, I mean, Double Fine's a lot larger, obviously, but I think the spirit is there. Same mentality.
I think that we didn't get to spend enough time with Mojang to really see how their development process worked. Over the course of the movie, we went 5 times to Sweden, and we'd stay for about a week and a half each time. So, I mean, it's enough to sit down and do some interviews and talk to people and stuff like that, but in order to really, really go deep and see how people work together, I mean, we probably would have been there for like an entire year. And
yeah.
They didn't give you reasons prevented that from happening.
They didn't give you a desk to live under either, did you?
No. And technically, Double Fine didn't give us the desk for that purpose either. We're just using it for that.
Roof over your head. And so, so did you guys film any big events or go somewhere and well, I guess just, you know, film something big and not end up putting it in the movie? You know, did anything substantial get edited out, I guess?
Oh, there's that fire festival that we shot. That was really cool. We ended up at
Valpurgis night.
Yeah.
That's the Swedish festival they have to keep the witches away.
Yeah, that's the pole dancing or whatever. What is it? Like, there's something about a pole and dancing around it. Am I thinking something else? It's called the summer. Any Swedes in the chat room? Anyway, ignore me.
Did you film it when they burned the big ram?
Oh, we didn't even know about the ram. There was just a huge bonfire.
Oh,
is this the question?
Actually, wasn't really too relevant to the movie. It just happened to be going on while we were in town.
Yeah.
Well, people were carrying torches, and there are torches in Minecraft.
Yeah,
so
we were trying to relate it to the game somehow. It didn't really work.
Well, you walked down this dark tunnel for us.
Actually, we could have put it after the scene where the guy accidentally burns down his house. Because there was a shot of like an old man staring, you know, wistfully at a fire. So
that's created the movie. Put it out again.
But no, we had some interviews that didn't make it into the movie at all, like with C418 and Rubber Ninja. We talked to both of those guys, and you know, those didn't make it in, unfortunately. But Paul can tell you about that.
Special features. They're in the special features, though.
The DVD. Okay, good.
Yeah. So it was just more editing reasons, or was it something to do with Germany?
There wasn't a place for it. Okay. Even though C418's interview was pretty interesting, there just wasn't room to slide it in anywhere, really.
Like the pacing.
I almost cut you guys out, too, but I figured we'd want to be on your show at some point.
Yeah. Right. Plus, there's that rocket shot. You know, you had to get the shot of the rocket in the movie.
Great. That shot is cool.
Yeah, and you got a great picture... frame of like the low mill when you guys came up. You can see all the lights and stuff in the background.
Yeah, actually I saw tweeting like, oh, my town's in this movie, oh my god, this is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's cool.
And the shot of Brent giving Notch a hug, you had to follow that up with something.
Gotta put that in there.
No, actually when at the end when Brent's talking to the Minecon people and he's like thanking them and talking about how much Minecraft meant to him, that's good.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
Everything
too.
Else.
Everything.
Yeah. I really thought y'all could have edited it down to that. Just, you know,
just
1 minute.
That.
Yeah. Just Brent saying, I love all you guys. The end.
Follow me on Twitter.
Epic Copeland. So, how much footage did you guys acquire, like, hour wise?
Hours? 200? Wait, no, it's got to be, I don't know. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
200. Yeah. I'm going to just get 200. 200 hours?
The answer is always 200.
Wow.
At 200.
Well, how many terabytes is it? It takes up that whole drive, right?
Yeah, I guess it's got to be 12 terabytes.
10, 12 terabytes?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
And really, you know, I don't, that music in there was so terrible. The music behind everything just had no creativity and no soul. Didn't
well,
make
that was
you
public domain.
Didn't give didn't give you any didn't give you any feels at all.
Feels.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
that must have been rough working with that guy.
Yeah.
And that's sarcasm to those people who don't ever watch the show. I thought the soundtrack was incredible. I really, my wife has zero interest in Minecraft at all, period. She does not understand why I play it. She she looks at me like I'm an alien when I'm doing so. And
is she watching tonight?
No. She has watched a couple of shows, and usually it's just so she can sit in the chat room and go, okay, I was here. I'm going now. But she, I put on the Minecraft documentary, and about like 20 minutes in, she stopped doing what she was doing and just continued watching the rest of it with me.
That's awesome.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. That's always good to hear.
And it was funny, too, because she was at the GDC that y'all covered.
Yeah.
And so when the GDC footage started coming up, I was like, wait, is my wife going to be in this movie before I am?
I thought that would be real irony.
Well, it's in the special features. I don't know if you want to watch that part. Right? I'll tell you now.
Oh, wait. Anyway.
Is it your girl? No. Too far, Brent. Too far.
That's okay. So, like, what's your favorite part about making documentaries? What? I mean, is it the final result? Is it the experience? Is it the craft? What do y'all like the most about making movies?
I like the experience of making them. I mean, just for example, when we came out to see you guys, I mean, we got to like meet some people, and you guys took us out to lunch. I don't know if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We already went for that one.
I don't know. So it was cool just to like, I don't know, travel around the world and meet everyone, and I don't know, get to talk to them for a day and hang out in their world. I don't know. I thought that was cool.
Yeah,
we do find ourselves in these weird places, and like, I mean, there's, you know, shots of like the island of Staffa in the movie that kind of looks like a Minecraft island.
Oh, and yeah, with the cubes and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's like. Like, why would I ever have ended up there? You
know? Yeah, exactly. But it was one of the most amazing places I'd ever been. So, I mean, it was amazing to actually get to be there and have a reason to go there, really.
Where is that exactly?
That's off the coast of Scotland.
Yeah, Northern Scotland.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was the northwest, because we had to go all the way across just for that one island. It's an entire day on a bus and two buses, three boats, like...
Yeah,
it was a trip.
Awesome.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, there's another layer of excitement too that will come further down the road. You know, 10 years from now, when we can look back on this and, you know, sort of see the beginnings of everything. I think that's the other exciting part about documentaries, is to have that stuff captured and then to look back and compare it to, you know,
yeah, really exciting.
What the present is like. So, yeah, exactly.
I mean, especially like when we're making the Minecraft movie and we saw, I mean, it took like 2 years and we saw so many changes take place.
Mm-hmm.
And just how much the people that we talked to changed and grew over that period of time was really fascinating. But, you know, I can point out like our talks of Tim Schafer and Pierre Molyneux and how those people were directly influenced by Minecraft and actually changed their own careers in dramatic ways. Just the success of the game made them think about different ways they could approach their lives and, you know, their professional careers, and it was so cool to have caught sort of that in between point.
Yeah,
very cool.
And I think that's one of the greatest things about the documentary is it kind of transcends Minecraft itself, and I think all gamers out there should watch it. Game developers and anybody that loves games, and you really get a lot of information even beyond Minecraft. Are y'all still keeping in touch with Mojang and talking to them? Is there going to be any other footage or anything in the future?
Hard to say.
Yeah,
it's pretty just due to the fact that like Mojang is so far away, it makes it pretty expensive for us to go over there. And we often talk about revisiting subjects like 5 to 10 years down the road. So who knows?
Yeah.
But
did you deal with any scope issues here? Like, is the movie at the end kind of the way you envisioned it at the beginning? Was there a major change in scope for you guys?
I think it's kind of the way we envisioned it would be. I mean, it was kind of a struggle to get everything in there, and we had to take a lot out. And even now, I feel like there's a lot in there, and maybe it could be like, I wanted to take 5 minutes out of it, but I couldn't, like, find the 5 minutes. I was like, maybe the shaft segment could go. But, yeah, I don't know. It was just tough to get it all in and cram it all in there, but I don't know. I like it. I'm not sure.
I love how you started with Paul Swartz Jr. I just thought that was the best way to start the whole thing. That was great.
Yeah, it seemed appropriate.
Yeah.
I think it's the voice of authority.
Yeah.
Elder statesman.
How so many people were introduced to the game, it made sense to start the movie off that way.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we could talk for another hour, and we probably will, but let's go ahead and get to our sponsors.
Okay.
And then move on into some journeys and stuff.
Yeah, excellent.
This week, we've got a couple individual sponsors. The first one here is Braden and Brian.
And they say, happy birthday, Brent! Karma is as karma does.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Early, it's birthday's Thursday. So.
Thursday. So
oh, get those, I was confused.
Get those steam gifts going towards Brent's way or whatever.
I need to do a wish list or something.
Or follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter.
Yeah. I never know when anybody's birthday is until Skype tells me.
Or Facebook or something. Yeah, Skype. Yeah, that's fine.
And we also have 5 Jason C. who says,
my birthday is tomorrow. Wish me a happy birthday.
Happy birthday! 5 Jason C.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have some server sponsors. Lord Bones, who sponsors us each and every week and will be sponsors for the next 4 weeks already, who has weekly Minecraft videos. This week, the final episodes of Boule Field, an RPG adventure with multiple choices and endings.
And we also have The Watershed at mc-thewatershed.net. They have a 2,500 square kilometer survival / RPG world with YouTube adventures and more. Go check them out at mc-thewatershed.net.
Yeah.
And I do want to get Lord Bones, let me find it real quick, his address for the server. Does anybody have that real quick?
It's just lordbones.com.
Okay, there we go. Lordbones.com. Well, it wasn't in there. I just wanted to make sure.
Yes. It's lordbones.com. And all these will always be in the show notes. So you can go check that out.
Go there and check it out.
Yeah.
Our journeys. And this is, of course, sponsored by mcprohosting.com. You can use the code SHAFTPODCAST, one word, to get 15% off your order. So go do that today.
We've had a busy week.
Yeah. It's been a pretty good week.
First off, we have a definite FTB problem.
Yes. What?
Oh, like addiction.
Yeah.
I haven't played any other game other than Minecraft in weeks. Like, I burned through, like, 35 hours of Far Cry 3.
Yeah.
And then just went to Minecraft and just, like, And it's FTB. I mean, I just can't quit.
Yeah.
Quit it. I can't quit it.
I can't quit you, FTB.
Yeah.
And Brent, you had to put a timer on yourself?
Just on, like, some nights, yes.
Yeah.
But you had so I don't get a divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm laughing about that. That's really kind of crappy of me. Anyway, so I've been playing a lot, too. I have still been playing Far Cry 3 and enjoying that. But mostly, I've been digging in. And, like, we've been getting comments on some of our YouTube videos. People are like, wait, this is Eric, Brent, and Wes built this?
Yeah.
And I'm
the
like...
The guys that don't know how
to
make a stick.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Or a lever.
Or a lever. Like, how did they make all these machines?
I always go back to that one, the school video where Eric's trying to make a lever, and he does every combination of a stick and a block and a four.
Well, the gray part's on top. It looks like it should go on top. I'm with you, Eric.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... But now, like, I know how to build pistons by heart. I can make redstone engines by heart.
Oh, yeah.
I can, you know, transport tubes, computers, turtles. I know all these recipes in my heart of heads.
Yeah.
So it's kind of creepy. Yeah. But we're having fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we've got a lot of good people playing with us.
Yeah.
I've been playing with Clyde, and Opaque Mango drops in periodically since I've been neglecting the working draft server.
The Ginchcast guys who are going to be on soon. Check the schedule. They've been on there.
And you three can get on the server, too. What we're talking about is our block party server.
Yeah.
So it's an FTB server for guests of the Shaft. So if you've been on the show or you're a moderator and you help out in some way, then you can get on. That way, I mean, we can't invite everybody or else it would just be crazy. And
I think the last time I checked, we had over 10,000 whitelisted people on our Shaft land. So we can't do that on this one.
Yeah. especially with something like FTB, you know, you get in there and you create all these complex machines and it can be easily griefed, you know. So.
Yeah.
What have you guys been up to this past week? And it doesn't have to be Minecraft, though.
Yeah, we've been doing. Actually, there's a lot of planning for, Story of Mojang in general, because there's a lot more things that we want to do with that. So we're looking into different ways to distribute the movie and trying to address issues that people have with the way that we're distributing it now, just trying to make sure that everybody can get the movie as easily as possible and everybody's happy with the experience.
So can you tell everyone how to get it?
Well, the easiest way, I think, is just to go to our website, which is www.twoplayerproductions.com. And we have a few different options there. You can buy a DVD. You can buy a DRM-free digital download. And there's also links to buy the soundtrack by C418.
Cool. So I really want it on Netflix. Is that kind of in the works, or is that something you can talk about?
Well, we want it on Netflix, too.
But, yeah, okay.
We tried to put... Years ago, we tried to get our movie Reformat the Planet. It was the first film that we made. And we tried to get that on Netflix, and they denied our submission.
And, really? I've seen some crappy crap on Netflix.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
Man.
But I think that Netflix's standards have changed since it seems like most of Hollywood is out to bury them. And
yeah.
If you pay any attention to that, half the studios are stomping down on them pretty hard. So I think they might be a little more open to our submissions nowadays. So, yeah, we'll probably be trying to get it on Netflix.
Sometime this year.
Yeah.
Cool. But it's also
people request iTunes, Steam, Amazon, all kinds of things. So we wanted to start small when we first released the movie, and then we'll, you know, expand to different channels.
That's cool. And we put some music up on iTunes through, like, CD Baby. It's a kind of a, to get, you know, non-industry people on there. Do they have something like that for videos and movies?
We actually used to work with the sister company of CD Baby, which was called Film Baby. And they since went on to become a different company, and we've kind of fallen out of contact. So now we're exploring other partners, but I imagine we'll have to go through something similar like that.
How has the response been to the movie, to the digital distribution? Are you seeing good sales from that? Have you compared it all to your very generous Pirate Bay upload?
The it's really hard to track the Pirate Bay because I mean, we can see how many people are seeding it at the moment, but that number goes up and down, and it's hard to say exactly how many people have downloaded it. There was one point where I was pretty sure that we had like probably 20,000, but I'm sure that it's gone far past that at this point. So I would say that the sales of the movie are okay. Like, I don't feel as though that we're pushing the movie very hard. I don't think that we've done too much to publicize it just yet. And the Minecraft community is huge, so I mean, there's a good chance there's just a lot of people that haven't even heard of it yet.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. Well, and I wonder if, like, maybe age is an issue, too. And it seems like Minecraft has a lot younger a viewing audience where, you know, they don't have the credit card. It may be harder to get them to buy it at that age.
That's exactly one of the reasons why we approached the Pirate Bay thing. I mean, it's not, you know, we definitely don't intend to just give the movie away for free to everyone, because then we wouldn't really be a business anymore.
Right.
We'd be, you know, broke.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's an option for people out there that can't, or maybe they don't feel like taking the risk on. We're largely unproven to a lot of people out there. Maybe they're not familiar with our material, and you know, it kind of sucks to spend money on a movie that you really hate.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, so I mean, if someone acquires a movie through Pirate Bay and they enjoy it, we really hope that they decide to go and buy it afterwards.
And maybe have y'all thought about putting up multiple clips and stuff up on YouTube or something and pushing them towards?
Oh, yeah. That's all all in the, you know, that's on the schedule of things to do.
Yes. Very good. I guess let's move on into this one. What's your pre-bumper, Wes?
From the Minecraft Daily, news and updates.
Now with reverb.
Yeah. So yeah. We had a new snapshot this week that we didn't cover on our channel at all.
Well,
it's
mostly
true.
Bug fixes.
I know, and we talked a little bit about it, but basically, skeletons now have a little more range. The texture packs have been improved. Like, the individual items will have texture files as opposed to one big giant texture sheet for everything.
Yeah.
So no more fire blocks, I guess. So, like, when you do a 64-bit texture pack, if you don't have it installed right, the blocks that aren't correct will have, like, a fire texture on it.
Yeah.
And now it will just revert to the old textures, I believe.
Yes.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why they wanted to do it, is they wanted to make it so people could make texture packs, and if the game got updated with new textures, it didn't end up having nothing for people who are using these older texture packs. It'll still reskin everything.
Yeah, in some way. Yeah. Yeah, that's smart.
And improve death messages. Yay.
Wait. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Wes decided to jump in fire again because he's an idiot? Is that swim in lava again?
I noticed this score thing has been giving me, you know, how it says, you know, you're dead, right?
Yeah.
Score equals, it used to be a weird, you know, a bunch of symbols.
Yeah.
And then it switched to just score equals zero for a while. And then when I updated to 147... and we were playing with Seth Bling the other day. My score was 6 when I died. So, like, something is happening with that score. Like, I think you're able to use it now for something.
But this is the snapshot. This is going to be different than 147.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's like golf scoring, right? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The lower, the better. I got a 2.
Yeah. So, all right. So, death messages, I guess, might have something to do with the score. I don't know. We'll see.
And then, and I didn't watch anybody else's videos about this one either, because I know it's weird, but like some of the snapshots really excite me, and I want to talk about them and look into them. And in other words, I'm like, oh, I'll wait till the patch comes, you know, the full version comes out.
Yeah.
TNT minecarts have been added, as well as activator rails.
So sounds dangerous.
So basically what you can do is you can take a cart, put a bunch of TNT in it, put an activator rail down the track, and then you kick the cart off, and as soon as it goes over the activator rail, it lights the TNT.
Yeah. Nice.
So conceivably you could have like a rail that went into a hole and then just continually spew carts of TNT into it until it went all the way down to bedrock.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. A way to mine. They also fixed the trapped chests. Before, a trapped chest is basically it would power a block that's adjacent to it, so it could be under it or on the left or right or whatever, or directly behind it. Well, the problem with that is you can always see what the block is, even if it's directly under it. You can still see a little crack, and you'd be like, "Well, there's some TNT under that. I'm not going to open that chest. That's stupid." So they fixed it now for this. Snapshot. So now it will emit a signal through a wall.
Yeah.
So now through like one block. So now you could safely put, you know, TNT behind the wall that it's in front of.
Well, so you guys are enjoying the TNT this week. What's going on?
Yeah, no, right?
Destructive.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna. I think like the next adventure map that uses like 1.5. Mm-hmm. I think we're gonna. We're gonna have to go in single file. Okay, you open the chest. We'll stay back here.
Oh God, I know, that's true. Yeah, and also with the trap chest, it gives out an analog signal, so the signal strength is more depending on the more people that actually look in the chest simultaneously.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
So if 3 people look in it, boom.
Yeah.
But if 2 or 1 people, it's okay. I mean,
well, or maybe the opposite. Maybe they will make it so that chests don't do anything good unless 3 people open them every time.
Oh, there you go.
And then next thing you know, they put a bunch of TNT and kill us all in one fell swoop. It's evil. It's evil. Just everything about the trap chest is full of evil.
Yeah.
Oh, we got some more stats on Thursday. Owen over at Mojang shared more stats about Minecraft sales over the week of Christmas, and they show that Minecraft is still going strong. While the desktop edition did well, selling over 240,000, copies between December 24th and 30th. It sold the least of the three available formats, though it has been around for over 2 years. Second place goes to the Xbox Live Edition, selling over 325,000, and the Pocket Edition blew the others out of the water with over 700,000 copies sold.
Whoa.
So, wow. And I'm sure that's a lot to do with kids getting iTunes gift cards, right?
Now they can that's exactly what it is. I got an iPhone. I'm getting Minecraft.
Yeah. So you guys were there at the Mojang office for a long time. And would they actually get excited when they see things like this? Like, would they, you know, during a meeting be like, oh, my God, guys, we just sold 100,000, you know, this week or overnight? Or, you know what I mean? Like, would there be things like that happening?
Mojang would have a party every time they broke a million sales, and it kind of got to the point where they were having a party like every other week. Yeah.
Does Notch walk around with a hat that shoots money out the top of it for everybody in the room?
Did that? Yes.
Okay, good.
Money in it.
His only big expense is to buy a new hat, the exact same one. So he's just got a fresh one for each day.
So do we want to move on? Are we still doing
that? Yeah. Okay. On the consoles, on January 4th, in response to a question from at Toby Morgan about Minecraft on the PS Vita, Jeff tweeted that since the PSV is a console, the Xbox 360 exclusivity would have the have to expire before the other consoles would become eligible. Unfortunately, when pressed on when the exclusivity period runs out, Jeff reported that, "I don't think I'm allowed to tell." Credit goes out to Bebop Box for catching this particular story. So he's out there with the press hat getting us some info.
Awesome.
We need to teach him to go do 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 do. Yeah. So Minecraft Style got taken down again.
Again.
Yeah. Captain Sparkles did another video. Basically, he says it's been taken down in relation to the copyright claims. Universal almost didn't respond. I think they had like 2 days left before they were going to respond, and they did it in time, and so the video got taken down.
This is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, Gangnam Style, the first video on YouTube to get over a billion views, and they're going to be upset at a parody.
Yeah.
Like, seriously?
Yeah.
Like, how much money do you have to make before, I don't know. I guess that just means you have more lawyers in there.
I don't think they have any right to take it down. Since it's a parody, that would pretty much eliminate everything that Weird Al has ever done.
Yeah,
he never had to get permission to do any of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's just it. I mean, I think that Captain Sparkles has a legitimate court case. It's whether he has the money to fight Sony and Universal, and that's the depressing thing.
Well, actually, it probably won't come down to it because he'll be able to find someone who would be willing to take that on.
Yeah.
Without a monetary investment from him, I would say.
Yeah.
Because it does sound like a legitimate case.
Yeah. And I wonder if they'll go back and try to get... Because every day that video's down, I mean, he's just losing money. So I wonder if they'll go back and get some from that.
Are they maybe using Captain Sparkles as a... you know, as an example kind of thing? You know,
well, they also might be being D-bags because recently Sony and Universal got 2 billion YouTube views taken from them. Because evidently Sony and Universal have been hiring people to watch videos. Really? They have been paying agencies. That's the rumor that I heard. Okay. Through the grapevine. I know that Sony and some got 2 billion views taken from them by YouTube. And then like the rumory part is a guy who knows a guy who runs one of these companies, and basically all he does is he has computers watch YouTube videos and people pay him.
What's his phone number?
I can't imagine that it's cheaper. You know, well, I mean, think about it. You're paying somebody to, you know, like when you're dealing with millions of views, that's one thing. You might want to, because you're fighting in a much higher.
Yeah, but I think there's also a threshold where if you get your video above a threshold, it goes from.
Well,
Know, it just exponentially gets more views because now you're up on charts and things like
that's
that.
That's true.
So I think that's what you push for with that.
But the guy that knows the guy said that a bunch of his orders got canceled from these big companies that got their views taken from him.
Right.
So this also might be a little bit of D-bag retribution from people trying to punish YouTube for them breaking the rules.
Probably the same company of lawyers that works for Skyrim.
something.
Yeah.
Elder Scrolls. Yeah.
That's right.
But all in all, I mean, I think I see no evidence this is anything but an open and shut case of parody.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot big pain in the ass for Captain Sparkles, and we feel for you, man. If there's anything we can do, just holler. I know there's not much, but, you know.
We're publicizing your travails.
Yes.
And if you're a lawyer and you listen to this show, contact Captain Sparkles.
Yes.
There's some spam for you, Captain Sparkles.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so there's another Kickstarter out there to turn Minecraft into a fully-fledged MMORPG. Spellbook Entertainment recently launched a Kickstarter for MLOS modification, transforming Minecraft into a proper MMO with classes, levels, experience, and the whole nine yards. They're only asking for $2,000 because the money is strictly to go to the server, which will host the games. There's just over 3 weeks left to go on the campaign, so if you want to check it out and even possibly back it, then head over to the Kickstarter. And, they've got 21 days to go. They've gotten $152 of the $2,000.
This is kind of interesting.
Wow.
I'd be interested to see what, you know. Yeah, it seems like a lot of this kind of work is already being done, though. Like these RPG servers, that seems like what they are.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of confused what ground is being broken here. I'll have to go and look at the Kickstarter page.
Yeah.
Yep, yeah. And you guys have done a lot with Kickstarter. Like, do y'all look into other Kickstarters a lot because of being there? Or is it just, you know, how y'all like to do something?
Oh, we've backed a ton of them.
Yeah, we back stuff all the time. Also, it's interesting to see, I mean, Kickstarter's pretty much come, it's turned into like a viable, you know, business plan for us. It's basically, we used to be like, I guess we still are, but, you know, most of our work would be contract-based, where a company would hire us to produce videos for them. But a lot of times, those videos aren't the kind of work that we want to do. And we'd much rather just pursue things that we're interested in. And in order to do that, we have to be able to sell directly to some sort of a fan base. And, you know, Kickstarter allows us to do that, essentially. So it's something that we're always trying to pay a lot of attention to. And since the Double Fine adventure, that basically, I feel like that set the new standard for what a successful Kickstarter plan needs to be. And it's interesting to see how that's evolved since then.
People
are always trying to come up with new ideas to make the experience fresh.
What do you think? I mean, like, I'm not trying to steal your ideas for how to make freshness in a Kickstarter page, but like, what do you think it is that pushes people to Kickstarter? Like, how do you, what appears to be a very saturated market, how do you make it fresh and new?
Well, you got to have a good idea, and you got to be able to engage some sort of desire that people already have. Like with the Double Fine adventure, it's people wanted to see a point-and-click adventure game. The genre has, I mean, there are still games made, but just particularly in that style of Tim Schafer, like, it's dried up. It doesn't exist anymore, but there's still a big fan base. So almost like any good invention, you have to think of something that people want, something that's missing, and try to find some way to tap into that and satisfy it, or offer people something that they want but didn't realize that they wanted. Like, I think
like the Minecraft
Pebble Watch
documentary.
Yeah, Minecraft. But, like, you know, like the Pebble Watch was like extremely successful because there's a huge installed base of iPhones, and the idea of a watch that communicates with your phone is like, I think people can think about that and be like, oh, that's pretty cool. I can get texts like right on my watch. I can just leave my phone in my pocket. I can see my email. Like, that's a pretty neat idea. And there's a ton of iPhones out there. So, of course, that's going to be an easy sell.
And do y'all think the offerings at each kind of state level of donations, do y'all think that's a big deal with most of these Kickstarters? Sometimes
I think that, you definitely have to have, like, interesting rewards. And something that we learned from the Minecraft doc is that I think maybe we were a little too extravagant with our rewards because, we're making a documentary and then we ended up having to manufacture, like, toys.
Yeah.
and we honestly, we could have done a Kickstarter campaign just for the Creeper toy because if anyone got one, I mean, it's not an extremely complex thing, but just the process of getting a three-dimensional model made, molds made of that model, like the mechanisms inside had to be custom made to fit inside the body. Like all that stuff has to be done, and then we're only producing, you know, X amount of numbers to satisfy our Kickstarter rewards. And normally if people manufacture a toy, they're going to make hundreds of thousands of them. Mm-hmm. So cost of production on something like that was extremely high compared to like the small number that we had to have made. And so, it's something you have to think about when you're doing a Kickstarter is like, how are you going to produce those rewards and how are you going to meet the demands of the backers?
You almost have to have a second Kickstarter going. Hey, we want to produce these rewards for this Kickstarter.
We have to go deeper.
Don't ever do that. That's another piece of advice.
Kickstarter inception. It's like, so, and speaking of like the piggy bank and the creeper, are those things, did y'all make it like where it's a limited thing where you kind of legally can't make more? Or y'all talking about maybe making more and getting, is it Fangamer?
Yeah, we worked with Fangamer, and they designed everything, and they figured out the manufacturing processes. And Fangamer has always been like our merch partner. But our agreement with Mojang is that we would only make rewards for the Kickstarter. So after the Kickstarter requirements were fulfilled, we don't have the permission to produce any of that material beyond, you know, the backers.
Right.
So anyone that gets that material, you know, I just hope that they know how special it is. Because we don't have the right to make any more of it. So what's out there is all that's ever going to exist.
Nice. Wow. That's awesome. Had you ever made toys before? Or is this the first time? I mean, it seems like such a bizarre thing to do on the side, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely the kind of stupid stuff that we do all the time. Hey, guys, let's just make a bunch of toys. Like, yeah, that's a good idea. Like,
not edit that movie that we shot too.
Oh crap! We actually forgot to do that.
Yeah, we invented a toy that would do it for us.
Wind up the editor.
Actually, there's another. This is another stupidly extravagant thing we did, but we're having a real life blacksmith construct those plaques. Did you guys see that in the Kickstarter rewards?
Yeah, those are crazy. Wow. So they're still working on those.
He's getting started on it next week.
Oh, wow.
He drew up some sketches, and he showed us some ideas, and they look incredible. And he's actually going to hand-make a pickaxe in the Minecraft style, and that's going to come on a custom wooden plaque, and it's going to have the names on brass plates of the founding members of Mojang, and we're going to send those plates over to Mojang and get the guys to sign them. So, you know, this is like, I mean, you know, this is a blacksmith. This is a guy that's going to be, like, hammering this thing and, like, shaving the wood down and all that stuff. And it's like, this is for, like, our movie? You know, it's just like, I don't know why we thought any of this stuff was a good idea.
Yeah, you almost need another documentary just on making of all the items for the Kickstarter.
Soviet cosmonauts to capture some meteors from space to melt it down to use the ore to make the picks.
It's a cobblestone block.
Then we have to get Jeb to put meteors into Minecraft.
Yeah,
yes.
That makes sense.
No.
That's right. Yes, it doesn't have to make sense.
Awesome. Speaking of not making sense, we're going to give away a DVD right now.
Hey!
These are...
does it make sense?
It was a horrible segue. Right?
Well, you're giving away copies of Stop Making Sense.
Yes!
DVD.
So all you have to do to participate this is be in the chat room right now, and we're going to randomly hit this button here that says roll. And the winner is... Shadow Gamer XT101.
Wow. So Shadow Gamer, send us a message.
Well, I'm sending him a message.
Oh, okay.
Her, him, them.
And
you won.
And
you won.
Send me your address.
Get a movie.
Make sure
you guys just forward that information to us and we'll sort all that stuff out.
Awesome.
Shadow Gamer says GG.
Nice work. Very awesome.
So, and we're going to give away, I guess, one or two more of those and then a creeper at the end.
Awesome.
So stay through. One of these creepers that they're just talking about that are awesome.
From outer space.
Yes.
Or that was some other conversation.
Do you guys have any sitting around there?
We do, actually.
Yeah.
We have a camera. We got a box in the mail just last week with some DVDs and some creepers. So thank you guys so much for these. I think we were talking before the show. My kids were fighting over the one I had gotten, and now they will both be able to.
Yes.
Yes.
Look at how awesome it is.
Look at it. It is awesome.
And here's the DVD.
Yes. All right. And, of course, audio listeners, we're just showing off our stuff. This is on YouTube as well, so you can see what we're doing. This is the DVD. So nice looking.
Yes.
Yeah. It can be man, all
because
yours.
Of the delay, you were still holding up the creeper. So I was like, oh. Well,
that doesn't make sense.
Creeper playable? Yeah. Just cram that into your DVD player and
yeah.
Maybe starts rolling.
Now, so if we had VCR still, we could cram him in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to buy crayons all the time in there.
So if you want to, if you're a big fan of media, you can get a free trial at Audible.
Audible.
Go to audibletrial.com/theshaft, and you can get a 30-day free trial of Audible. Get a free audiobook for your troubles. And you can look through all the free materials they have on there. Additionally, if you decide to subscribe for, like, what is it, $14.95 a month?
I believe that's correct.
You get one free credit towards a book each month, and you get 30% off all additional purchases. So if you're a big fan of audiobooks, or if you just want to try it out, you'll help support the show if you go to audibletrial.com/theshaft today, and it'll give you something to listen to.
And let's go ahead and talk about Netflix, too, and get these out of the way.
Yay!
So we also have a free trial at netflix.com/deadworkersparty, not the show, deadworkersparty, and you'll get a free month of Netflix, so you can try it out, see if you like it, see all the movies and videos. And, you know, one day, the
story of Mojang
will be on there, I'm sure.
So that's why you guys are pushing us to get the movie.
Yes.
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 Of course.
Yeah.
Well, but see, then every week we can use the movie as a reason to get it. So it's a nice little circular logic thing.
Mm-hmm. We feed your views. You feed our views. It works.
You know,
it
works. I wish like Netflix would have video views. Like YouTube.
So that'd see be how many wild. People
interesting watch. Actually. Yeah.
You know, it's like how many people have seen Crocodile Dundee 1 versus 2 or 3?
Or Runaway.
I forgot there was examples. A 3. Yeah.
Or 4 Dundees in Time.
And
I think it's the best like later sequel convention is just In Time.
So you can go to netflix.com/deadworkersparty. Get a Netflix trial. Last 30 days. You can see all kinds of good stuff. I've been watching Avatar The Last Airbender lately. The series. Not the movie.
Okay.
That's the cartoon.
The cartoon. Right, it's really good. It's actually really, really well done. And it's kind of what I've been putting myself to sleep with lately. Like at night, that's what I watch to go to bed.
That's cool.
That might not be the best praise.
Well, no, I mean,
using it to go to sleep.
I usually get through a couple episodes before I get tired and need to go to sleep. It's late. You know.
It took me two nights to get through Get the Gringo with Mel Gibson. It's like a new movie.
Yeah.
It's okay. Probably not worth mentioning on the show, but I did anyway.
We've been watching Supernatural, trying to get through that to catch up to the next season.
Yeah.
But if you want free stuff, there it is. And speaking of free stuff, we'll be giving away more DVDs throughout the show. And to build up your karma... Because, you know, karma is a good thing to have when you're winning free stuff. You should go over right now and follow 2P Productions on Twitter.
Follow them
and tweet out and say, hey, I want to win. I want to win. Pick me. All that good stuff.
Ooh, pick me.
Pick me.
And, okay.
Time for listener contributions.
Yeah.
This first one here is from our good friend Aztec Consulting. I believe he's still in the chat room, probably tweeting out about us. He helps us out, and he has a question here. Are we allowed to live stream the story of Mojang at a party?
At a party?
Party.
What kind of a party?
I don't know.
What kind of party, Aztec?
Well, I mean, if you go by traditional broadcast law, you're not supposed to, but I don't think we really care about that. As long as you're not showing it to people and charging them money, I think we would take issue with that. But I mean, if you're at a party and you want a bunch of people to just get together and watch the movie, that's fine.
I also, we've got PlayOnCon coming up in July, and I was going to talk to you at some point in time about whether we could do a screening of it there.
Of course.
It's got a 60-seat theater and a bunch of big Minecrafters coming. So
yeah.
Awesome.
The next one's from Bystander Tim. Hey, DWP, Bystander Tim here. What is your opinion on a survivor-like Minecraft game show? I'm thinking about starting one and trying to get some Minecraft celebs. Probably not. That's what he says in parentheses.
Probably not.
I think that there could be some good stuff there. It seems to me that the trick would be making the challenges right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's actually even a harder challenge to do with a survivor. Like, the challenges themselves, to me, are more of just almost the maps and stuff we're seeing out there with challenges or the adventure maps. But the biggest part of Survivor is having these people with each other 24/7 for X number of days, going through these trials and hardships. That I think that's a lot of what you would need to capture, is that emotion and these people starting, you know, working together or working against each other and seeing that sort of stuff, which is just going to be almost impossible on without a big budget to pay people to, like, live this world. Like, maybe you could do a 24-hour, like, stream of it and do a shortened form, which I think that could work. I just don't know if you're going to build the same amount of drama in that short amount of time.
Yeah, and plus, I think there's a, you know, giving somebody food when they haven't eaten, you know, anything good for a week is a much better deal than giving somebody a digital pork chop. So I think it might have a little, you might need to change the scope of it to have some scarcity that the people behind the avatars would want.
Yeah. I think if you want some good examples, go check out the Cyber Mole. Or not Cyber Mole. I guess they were the Mole. That was not Cyber. The Mole. There were some, what would you call that? Just game show, The Mole in Minecraft. And it was challenge based because Mole was a little less to do with that kind of backstory.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Side story, whatever. Okay, Bobby is happy, and I'm glad to hear that. And he goes on to say, "Hey guys, I'm thinking about going to PlayOnCon. I was wondering if you guys could give me a basic premise of what you do there, what events you guys usually go to, and if you would be willing to do a meetup."
Well, I usually do all the talking about PlayOnCon. Why don't you guys talk about it?
Basically, it is a meetup. I mean, it's one of the biggest things is you get to meet all the people. Like, say you go to MineCon, it's a lot harder to meet certain people, I think, than, say, if you go to PlayOnCon. Everybody's there, and you'll see them, you know, 80% of the time, so you'll be able to go talk to them. And definitely there will be, you know, meet and greets and things like that, and it's a lot of...
Just a lot of different things to do. I mean, there's panels and timed events or scheduled events that everybody pretty much attends together. And then, of course, it's the times that everybody goes to eat. And that's always fun because we all kind of travel in a big group of, like, Minecraft YouTubers, kind of, you know. And we all go and take over a restaurant or something, you know, and it's real fun. And then late at night, I mean, after panels and different scheduled events are over, we just kind of sit around and play things. Like, you know, we'll get into little groups and play board games and whatever, maybe do some Minecraft land play.
And one of the biggest things I like about PlayOnCon over other conventions is it's not your average panels. You don't just look at down the thing and go, okay, what do I want to hear them talk about? Most of the panels are interactive. There'll be game shows and things to get the audience. There's a battle of the not battle of the bands. What battle of the?
It's Rock Band.
Rock Band. Yeah.
Yeah.
So bands sign up and get in costumes and it's always a fun event. They have like a poker night. Just a bunch of really, really fun stuff, but it gets you involved where you're not just sitting there listening the whole time. So you can do that if you want.
But is it age-restricted?
No, it is actually a family-friendly event for the most part. There are some adult activities like The Hypnotist. We've started doing him as a late-night adult show and things like that. But for the most part, it's family-friendly. We are having it at a 4-H camp. Now, it is a conference center. So, I mean, there's like full-fledged hotel rooms and event space and all that kind of stuff. But it's also a camp with canoeing and archery and rock climbing and, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, the sun, it burns.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, there's going to be a whole new kind of we're kind of treating it like a summer camp this time. And I think there's going to be a lot of great stuff. But at the same time, like, we've got an entire room dedicated to PC gaming. It's a classroom, a big square classroom dedicated to PC gaming. And we're going to be holding Starship Artemis like stuff in there. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's like Star Trek. But everybody, like, one guy sits at the helm, one guy sits at science.
That's so cool.
And then one guy bosses, you know, is the captain and tells everybody, you know, what do we got? Hail them! You know, communications does that. Anyway, so we're going to be doing all kinds of stuff like that. As far as, like...
Is that kind of like sci-fi LARPing or something?
It's basically, if you can just imagine, it's taking a normal like space combat game and making it really inefficient by dividing it up among a bunch of people and then watching it. And
they're actually inexperienced.
There's a video of Project Artemis on YouTube with Freddie Wong playing it, actually.
Oh,
if
yeah?
you want to check okay. that out sometime. It's actually kind of cool.
Oh.
But yes, there will be a lot of meetups. Now, we've got some interesting stuff going on this year. I think it's going to be a great year. I'm hoping to get some moderate sanctioning from Mojang to do some more interesting stuff. But, I mean, if nothing better, we've got a lot of Minecrackers coming. We've got, you know, the DWP is going to be there. Joe Hills is going to be there. Aurelian, Pool Shark Wizard, I mean, tons and tons of people are going to be there.
A big list. And
yeah, I feel bad if I forgot to mention anybody in particular.
I hear Seth's trying to go.
Yeah.
Seth Bling is trying to go.
Yeah.
Mark IRL.
Oh, nice.
From Mojang, who works in Seattle, is trying to come.
Yeah.
He's actually skipping PAX Australia to come to PlayOnCon.
Whoa.
So that's awesome. At least that's his tentative plan. So, but anyway, so there's a lot going on. It should be fun. And I recommend everybody go to the website, playoncon.com. The basic premise is we have three pillars. We have programming, we have parties, and we have games. So if you like those three things, you'll probably have a good time.
Pillars?
Nice. And speaking of pillars, we're going to give away another pillars. DVD.
Meant for pillar?
Meant for pillar. We're not there quite yet. But so if you're in the chat room, have you built up your karma yet?
Yeah.
If not, you're probably not going to win this. But let's see. Who is it? This is kind of...
Yeah, we need
2 foot 7 ninja.
Hey, we know
no
that
No way!
Yeah.
All right.
So I will send you a message. Here's message. You won.
That's
DVD.
Funny. So 2 foot 7 ninja, he's one of our mods.
Me your address.
That's really cool.
Do you want to read this last one since you've been on that server?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of long, but I mean, I know you don't like reading long things.
Yeah.
Do you want me to read it? And you'll just comment?
Yeah, do that.
Okay. This is from Brynne. After hearing about the Watershed Minecraft server on the show, I hopped on and had to go there. Everyone there was extremely nice. They helped me get started and answered my many questions about what on earth I should do. I absolutely loved it. It's one of the best public servers I've seen in a long time, in my opinion. 10 out of 10.
Nice. Yeah, that's really cool.
The critics
cool.
are in.
Yeah, the Grand River, I believe, he's the admin on Watershed. I believe he is planning to go to PlayOnCon as well.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Booked his river. Yeah. Booked his room.
Oh, he did already? Yep. Oh, okay. He's definitely, and he's in the chat room right now. And so it's Easy. Hey, Easy. So, yeah, I mean, it is a great server. Everybody's really friendly and cool there, and the builds are amazing. We had a really good firework night. I mean, it's just something to... I mean, it's great. I love the server. It's really cool. And it's... I think it's all creative, though. Or at least that's what I got the idea. There's no survival or PvP going on there.
That's not true, according to their promos.
Oh, is there... Maybe there's different sections.
It's a survival RPG world.
Oh, you know? I guess when I...
You're just making all this up.
Well, me and a group of people went over there. It was the night we built the... it's like, no, it's almost all survival. See, ignore me. We're building the villager race rink or racetrack or whatever. But we're doing it in creative mode. But I think maybe he just modded us and we're cheating.
Well, no, he says Watershed City is creative area for staff and VIPs.
That's what it is.
So
okay.
There you go.
Okay, got
so,
it.
So, if you so can, your staff?
I'm a VIP.
No, you're not.
No, no, come on.
I'm a VIP.
You're a VIP.
Okay, we have one here, last one here from TJB14, who says, "Stop making fun of Brits and Egyptians."
We make fun of Brits? Oh, howdy, governor! Is that it?
Hello, yeah. Governor.
Hello, governor!
That's not really making fun of, that's kind of making fun of ourselves.
It is.
It's like Americans trying to be Cockney or something.
And our Egyptian jokes, we even know they're stupid. And I think Egyptians are even smart enough to know they're stupid.
For a fact, I know an Egyptian who was backing us up on everything we said.
Yeah. Oh, backing us up?
Yes.
Like said, agreeing with...
So leave us alone. They're just joking.
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
I thought you meant like... He was like, yeah, dude, I'm getting robbed left and right. My neighbors are stealing everything in here. But yeah.
Oh, God. We had to dip into it.
So I think that's a good time to...
excavation station.
Oh no, we just keep digging that hole deeper and deeper and deeper.
I blame Astro.
Pretty soon we'll end up in China where they fill in the blank. We'll figure that one
probably
out later.
Probably the other side from Russia. I mean, probably like
we don't need to make
Mexico
fun of Chinese.
Is probably the other side of
yeah, we're trying to break into that market.
Yeah, the Chinese market. That's true. Yeah, there's a lot of Minecrafters over there who need to know about this show.
So right? Eric, why don't you read this first?
Okay, so the first one, let me scroll down a little bit. Proper sneaking submitted by I live with my cousin. That's a cool name. I think that when you sneak and a mob has its back turned, it has its back turned back to you. See, that's why I don't read these, because they don't make any sense.
I think that when you sneak and a mob has its back turned to you, they cannot see or hear you. And if they are facing you, the range of sight is lowered.
I agree.
This could help get past mobs if you have low health or aren't in a situation to fight.
I agree. Yeah. I see no reason this should not be implemented immediately.
That's true. Yeah, that's seems very natural. Yeah.
Okay, so here's one submitted by Jericho Narek, who wants Pan's Flute. In Minecraft, Pan's Flute could be crafted with reeds and wood. It would play a looping melody which draws animals to you while slowly losing durability. This is a big help for those of us who end up running out of wheat or need to herd animals early on.
I would like to see some change to the herding mechanic.
Yeah, we had a lot of hard times herding sheep.
Yes.
It was a mess.
And I would stand there with my wheat and I'd be like, sheep, look at me, look at me, look at me, sheep. And evidently there's a tick that happens every minute or minute and a half. Mm-hmm. And that tick makes all the sheep within range turn to you. Because you could be standing there for like 30 seconds with wheat and none of them will respond. And then all of a sudden they'll all turn to you.
Maybe they just
with
like
murder in their eyes. Huh?
Maybe they just don't like your wheat.
They might not. But then the second thing is like you'll be walking along and like I trying to herd sheep over a hill is nightmarish. Like trying to pull them up a normal hill.
That's what it should be. It's a hill.
No. You have food, and they want the food. So like, there should be...
Well, we tried to do that, and we ended up just building a tunnel through a mountain because it was too hard to make them climb and go around it. But, hey, I think that's part of Minecraft. That's cool. It's like, you have the power to make a tunnel.
But
you know?
I think maybe there's some things that they could do. Okay, first off, make little cages that you can cage chickens in. So you don't have to kill them. You can, like, cage them and bring them back and let them out.
Yes.
Then you add in a use for the dogs, help them herd sheep.
Okay.
And then, put in cowboys to herd the cattle.
Yeah.
Yeehaw.
Well, the other thing I would add.
Y'all just let that one blow by. Yeah.
Cowboys. Not a problem.
I like it.
Yeah. As long as we get the hat. But the other thing is like the tick, sometimes you'll have five or six sheep around you and then all of a sudden some of them will just lose interest for some reason. And then you have to wait for the other tick to come back to get their attention. And meanwhile, they're wandering, and I don't know. The herding mechanic needs work.
So it needs like some sort of faster refresh rate or something happening there.
So Pan's Flute, I don't necessarily like it all that much.
But something needs to be done.
Yeah. I agree. There is a problem here.
I say the herding dogs thing wins, yep. Or the cowboy with the chaps, or yeah. Whatever.
I see you how you're going because you just can't
Eric
quit
loves
him.
Chaps. Yeah.
Anyway, so the next one is submitted by Lord Hobajo. More challenging surface buildings. The game already has a couple of surface structures, but they are all neutral type buildings. Examples: villages. Why can't there be a surface dungeon or a mob filled building that is more challenge but more reward? Because you can just dig through it.
Yeah,
that's why.
Well, I mean, you can dig through. Well, okay, so there are these things, but they're in the Nether, right? I mean, it's a fortress.
Yeah.
So you go in the fortress, and there's plenty of mobs and stuff like that. I mean, that's. I think maybe, you know, what if we had, you know, the equivalent of that in the real world? You know, I don't see the use. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe something smaller. Like, say, okay, how about like a mage tower or something, right? Yeah. That's got traps in it and stuff. And all you do is you just try to climb to the very top. And okay. If you make it, you get a chest.
Well, what do y'all think about all the things that we played in the Twilight Forest mod? Like,
see, now that wasn't bad.
Outdoor stuff.
Yeah. I liked the maze, and you couldn't climb on top of it because the edges would hurt you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I hear that two-player productions has a very strong opinion about this, and I'd like to get it.
What are we talking about now?
He got the right response.
Do you guys get much Minecraft time in?
I'm actually playing right now for the first time in months.
Nice.
Also, you should tell them about what you're doing now.
I should tell them about what I'm doing.
Are you griefing our server?
Oh, God, no.
Well, aside from that.
Wait, what? Which thing?
The poster thing.
Poster thing. Oh, God. Okay. Maybe I shouldn't tell them about that. I don't want to get people too excited.
Oh, it's just another thing for our wonderful Kickstarter backers.
No, sure. It's another one of the rewards that we did for the Kickstarter backers, where you get a lovely poster of a screenshot from the game signed by Notch, and I am currently flying around trying to find the right vista that will be worthy of a poster image. Jeb actually created a special tool for us that takes gigantic screenshots in the game.
Nice.
So that has been cool to mess around with. And those will be at the proper resolution for a poster print.
That's a great idea.
The best part is you don't even really have to have Notch there. You can just mob disguise to be Notch.
Yeah.
Just done it.
Yeah. That's true, huh?
So all you people who are getting this, I've just ruined, you know, you thought you were getting a picture with Notch, but now you'll never know.
No.
Sorry. Weird. So, let's see. This was submitted by Jack C here, who wants player zombies. If the player is killed by a zombie, their corpse is reanimated, carrying their inventory and having their XP. I swear we've had this one before. By killing that zombie, the newly respawned player can regain their XP, weapons, or in anything else they had. They would, of course, be harder to kill and wearing the same armor, but it would give the player a goal to set out for once they respawn. So instead of being able to run back and grab your inventory off the ground, you would now have to hunt a zombie that could have walked into lava.
Yes. No.
Yeah, that's pretty harsh.
Yeah, well, I don't like it.
Yeah, no. I don't know.
No.
I mean, I kind of like some of it, but...
It depends. If he would stand there and not do anything...
Then that seems almost too easy, right?
I know. It does.
Then it might as well just be on the floor.
Yeah. I don't know. This is a tricky one.
No.
But I heard that two-player productions has a really powerful opinion on this subject.
Powerful.
Oh, wait. Wait. We actually got Notch on the line. He wants to weigh in on this one.
What's he think?
Worst idea ever.
Oh, okay. You heard it here, I guess. Yeah. All right, back under the table.
Yeah, get under the table, Notch.
So do y'all have any footage that y'all are holding Notch hostage to that y'all won't ever release unless he...
Blackmail.
God. Yes. I have some mental images that I'm holding him hostage to. I don't think we got on camera.
Yeah, just the eye cameras got it.
Google eye cameras?
Yeah.
Yeah. They held up their fingers.
Or Looksy. Have y'all ever seen the Looksies?
Looksy.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a camera that you wear it on your ear. And it's kind of like a TiVo. It sits there and continuously records. And if capture something, you just hit a button and it goes back and captures that moment, like a minute before. Right. so you don't miss anything.
And it looks like, you know, like a cell phone, like one of the ear cell phone things. Like,
awesome. That's actually kind of cool.
Isn't there a movie of Robin Williams where they went into like dead people's memories, like through their eyes?
Oh, yes.
The Final Cut.
Is that what that was?
I think it's called Final Cut.
When Dreams May Come? What Dreams May Come?
Yeah, that one too.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah. Crocodile Dundee 5.
Terminator 3. Had Robin Williams in it, didn't it?
Time.
So we got a nerd alert from Astrogali. While we were doing all this, he did some Googling and discovered that the antipode of Egypt is in the South Pacific Ocean, a few hundred miles east of New Zealand, which just got named the most free nation in the world. So that hole we're digging in Egypt will eventually drown us.
Nice.
So
that's nerd alert. Nerd alert.
There you go. Lots of nerdy stuff.
Sightings.
It's so beautiful.
Oh my god. It's so intense.
Wow. It's amazing.
I haven't heard that one in a while.
So let's say this first one here is a link to the Mavis Minecraft Teaches Coding Part 1. And this is an article over at Rock Paper Shotgun. Starts off a four-part tutorial series by Duncan Gear, who teaches you how to program in Lua with a Computercraft mod, which will have, if you play Tekkit or Feed the Beast, and we'll actually be having him on the show in a month or so.
Nice!
Yes, I love the coding, and Computercraft is so much fun.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to do some videos on it, because so far we have a working email network. And game, and then I'm working on an email client a Twitter client right now. All it does is kind of just it searches and publicly. But I want to be able to OAuth and actually log in and post.
Nice.
But right now I can get tweets back. In Minecraft. I mean, it's really cool, right? I mean, there's so many cool things that you can do. So that'll be neat when we get them on the show.
Very cool. This next one is Englishman's Guide to Minecraft. This is submitted by EWN0123. And this is EWN decided to tease Astrogali the other day with a Minecraft related joke, and Astro liked it so much he decided to include it in Sightings. So here you go. Englishman's Guide to Minecraft.
Nice. Approved by an Englishman himself.
Indeed.
Okay, so this one was submitted separately by Pokes on Poke Sonic Fan and the Cryo Hazard. What the this is the rediscovered mod, Stormister. What are these names? Holy crap. Stormister has put together an interesting mod which brings together all the features which either didn't make it into the game or were removed during the game's evolution. Lanterns, fish mobs, crying obsidian, sponges, chairs, and more are included, plus the Reyna and Steve mobs.
Wow. So our next one is a video. This is Minecraft Snapshot 12W02B Animated Textures Test. And what this video is Chandler Redding decided to test some of the new animated textures, because one of the changes they made in the snapshot is now the texture changes are not coded into the texture itself. Like if fire changes, it's just now, I believe, an animated GIF, as opposed to fire having instructions to change from texture to texture to texture to texture at certain intervals, at certain ticks. So what he did was he did a video of these animated textures, and he provided a download of the world map as well, but you'll need 4 gig of RAM though, so go check it out. Cool. And it'll be in the shaft notes. I mean the show notes.
Cool.
For the show notes.
And the last one is a video. This is a trailer for the brand new Supercraft Brothers Brawl by Seth Bling. This is a Minecraft PvP mini game that was built around vanilla Minecraft, so you don't need any mods. And if you would like to see us getting our butts kicked by Seth Bling, you can, on our channel, we have two videos where we actually played with him. And he's really good.
Yeah.
And there's all these different classes you can choose, lots of different maps. There's like six different maps, six or eight. I forget.
I was really impressed with how well it worked and how charming it is. It's this is like the most fun PvP thing I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really awesome. I just love the different the classes you can be. Yes. I mean, being a cactus, it was just like, how is this going to work?
Yeah, the cactus class.
And then you come out and you put on a cactus costume and you're a cactus running around beating people with a cactus stick.
But and the classes are like Blaze, and you put on, like, you look kind of like a Blaze in in armor. And then there's a spider where you get a spider head and some armor.
You can jump real high.
Yeah, and your armor and weapons give you certain abilities. Like, the creeper has, like, splash potions he throws. Mm-hmm. The
zombie has a crazy knockback.
Right. The skeleton has a bow.
Yeah.
He's archer. Enderman can warp around, and some of them can jump higher than others. I mean, he did a really good job with the class attributes.
Yeah.
And balancing it. And last but not least here, we do want to link to in the show notes, twoplayerproductions.com. This is where you can go get the documentary we've been talking about, and it is well worth the $8. So head over there immediately and go get your copy today.
Yep.
Today.
And speaking of a copy today.
Hey, yeah.
Why don't you
get that karma going?
Do you think they have that karma going?
I don't know. Do you got it, chat room? Do you got what it takes?
You ready for more giveaways?
Where's the drum roll?
That's weak. Okay, here it is. Roll.
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 Lord Bear.
Lord Bear.
I thought his name was Roll.
L-O-R-D-B-A-E-R.
Lord.
You have won a DVD, and this is the final DVD we're going to give out. We're going to give out The Creeper in just a couple minutes.
Lord Bear.
Can I use my power for a minute?
Sure.
I'd like to give a DVD to High on Definition.
Okay.
So he's in the chat.
Awesome.
Yeah, he
made some good jokes about Zoolander, so you should get a DVD.
That's great. Yeah, High on Definition. He's one of our mods. He's a great guy. We play with him all the time.
Yeah,
And he's going to play on.
And he's dry as a bone.
his humor is.
Sometimes he'll go, "Wait, was that a joke?"
Yeah. Yeah, he's always cracking jokes. Awesome.
Very cool. And so, yeah, does that lead us out of this segment?
I think we're getting close.
Who is it? Come in.
Housekeeping!
Oh, man, you've been gone for a long time. This place is a mess.
This is a mess. What have you done? Eric, you're a travesty to all clean people.
It's all Brent's fault, I think.
I'm sorry. I dirtied him up last night at the
mint
bar.
Mint for pillow?
Hey, there it is.
Mint,
yeah.
Mint for pillow?
Just put it next to our pillars over here.
Mint for pillar? For pillar?
So do we have? You guys got any housekeeping? Want to let folks know about anything coming up? Maybe where y'all are going to be at any conventions or any info like that?
Well, we just got back from MAGFest. I think our publicist is actually in the chat, and she should probably tell us what to say, because we're going to Canada for something. In like March.
For Poutine, and then maybe to also show the movie.
I think we're playing the movie at PAX East as well, and I think we'll probably be there for Double Fine-related stuff. But
that's still up in the air, I think. But, yeah, no guarantee.
Yeah, we're very informed.
But movie's out. There's still stuff happening with the movie. There's tons of Double Fine stuff happening. There's still interesting stuff happening with Amnesia Fortnite. If anybody missed that, they'll still have a chance to get to see it.
Yeah, you can still buy that Humble Bundle too, can't you?
Yeah, there's actually an interesting thing I can plug, is that there is, for the Double Fine Adventure Kickstarter, the one that was a real big success, I mean, that's still ongoing, and we've already done like 7+ videos for it, really good stuff, and you can still buy into that, and if you buy it directly from Double Fine, it's $30. But if you go to fangamer.net and you buy a copy of our movie on DVD, you can get access to the Double Fine Adventure Kickstarter for $20. So that's like a special promo combo pack we have.
That's nice. And so for even less than the $30, you can add on the documentary.
Awesome.
That's true.
I do math
in the chat. Jen is saying, we're going to the Games Without Frontiers in Victoria, Canada.
Go.
Oh.
Very cool. And
we need a publicist. Can we get a publicist?
Let's get one.
Jen, what are you doing?
You should get Jen. She's awesome. After we're done with her.
Yeah, stay away, guys. Yeah. Not cool.
And speaking of, let's go ahead and give away the last prize of the day, the creeper.
Yes.
Oh, the creeper.
Great ball. Should they have to do anything extra?
They have to.
I want to show it to people.
They have to make sure they follow Two Player Productions on Twitter. Creeper. That's 2PP Productions.
The Green Creeper. Oh, the Creeper, yeah.
Yeah, give me
there you go.
Eric was playing with his Creeper.
I was. You have to follow them on Twitter. That's you're probably already following them anyway.
Now, Brent, yours had the face on the side, didn't it?
You can turn the head.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, hey, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know that.
So everybody just learned something new.
Yeah.
You have to talk to the toy makers. They're on Skype right now.
So what's the next toy coming out?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do a Shaper bobblehead.
Yeah. That'd be awesome, actually.
Should have
done that.
That's pretty cool. I'd get one.
And let's roll the dice here.
Here we go. Creeper.
Rihanna G.
Rihanna G!
Who is not following the Dead Workers Party. I'm not going to hold that against you, but you probably should, and you should also follow Two Player Productions on Twitter and go to their website. And I'm going to write you a message now, how to claim your creeper.
Yay!
Congratulations, and thank you guys for offering these prizes to everybody. That's awesome.
Yes, yes.
It makes live streaming so much more fun.
Well, we're not allowed to sell any of these things, so we got to do something.
Sorry, I'm mailing.
That's all right.
I guess I should.
Yeah, you should push that button. And that way we can.
The button's pushed, bud.
We've got some other stuff going on. For our housekeeping, you should go and check out our channel. We've got our new block party videos up. We started the new FTB videos. They start off a little dramatically because for a little while there, we filmed intermittently, but we decided to wait until we had some stuff built up before we released the first episode. So people are confused. They don't understand why all of a sudden we have everything in the world in our base. But you can go watch Block Party.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we put out our Super Craft Bros battle.
Oh, yeah.
With Seth Bling. That's out.
Two-parter.
Yeah.
It's pretty action-packed.
Broke 60K.
Oh yeah, we broke 60K YouTube subscribers.
One of those battles was an actual tie. Remember?
Yes.
I don't want to spoil anything, but two of us actually killed each other simultaneously on the last life.
Yeah.
It's really weird. So part two.
Yeah.
Some good stuff.
And then also Tunnels Through Time 5 came out. If you want to see Eric's hyper video production in action.
Like OCD editing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is why it takes him a week and a half to get every video out, because they're so freaking awesome. It makes me jealous.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to kiss the video. I just want to kiss it.
Kiss the
Go
video.
Marry me.
It's kind of weird.
So, thank you guys for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man.
It's awesome.
And thank you for putting us in the documentary.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
You guys earned it.
Awesome.
It was really weird. One of the weirdest things was watching it, knowing that how close I was to all the things that were going on in all the elements. Like, it felt like it was next door to me while I was watching it. And it was almost surreal.
It kind of feels like a yearbook almost. Yeah. It's just I remember that. You know, I know that person. I know that person. It felt really just, brings a single tear to my eye.
A part of something. I just looked down a second ago and I just saw Marcus Pearson logged into Skype.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, should we call him? Prank call? No, well, just kidding.
Well, and I have to say that part of this whole Minecraft experience has been bonding with the community and seeing this great thing develop, and I really felt like the documentary was one of the best salutes anybody could have made to this entire situation. And so I'm impressed with the work you did. I mean, I knew it was going to be good because I've seen some of your other stuff, but I really thought this raised the bar on the other things I've seen from you. So
thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
So everyone, go now immediately to twoplayerproductions.com, buy a copy, go to facebook.com/twoplayerproductions. You can also go to twoplayerproductions.tumblr.com, and last but not least, twitter.com/twoplayerproductions.
See ya.
Congratulations, you made it through The Shaft alive. See show notes and leave comments for this episode at theshaft.deadworkers.com. Send questions, comments, and audio to theshaft@deadworkers.com or leave us a voicemail at 256-812-1010.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for including us in the stuff that you did. It was inspiring, and I respect the hell out of you guys, what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thanks to you guys for taking the time to talk to us and having us on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks to the chat room for joining us.
Definitely.
Glad we had some wieners. We like wieners.
We like wieners.
We're big fans of wieners.
Okay. I think that's a good time to call it.
Egyptian wieners? Or...
Dead Workers Party Network. Next to the breast, the shaft's the best.